Direct. From Guano Productions headquarters in the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. It's like honey in your ear holes. Welcome back to The Superiority Complex, everyone. Yes. We have a special guest today.
Deep inside Rat Manor at the Rat Cave, it is MTR, also known as Matt the Rat.
Wow, you did your own intro.
Thank you.
You brought your own intro.
Well, I had to address that. Well, first off, we can't release where the Rat Cave is.
No.
We could release where Rat Manor is. That's located in La Mirada, California.
Yes, my old hometown. I have two hometowns, really, but I used to... La Mirada's really...
But there's one that's better, which is Whittier.
La Mirada is really where I grew up, and so we're right across from the Frisbee. The manor is across from the Frisbee.
There you go.
What hole is that on the Frisbee golf right there?
I'm going to say somewhere between...
Let's just say you have a lovely view of the
five
lake.
Five and eight.
You have a lovely view of the lake, of the loch.
Hey, you know what? That Frisbee golf got me really good, like, random celebrities.
You know what's weird? Matt the Rat is here, everybody. This is the only place I knew that had like a Frisbee golf when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And it's blowing up now. Everybody's talking about like disc golf. Hey, bro, do you know about disc golf? I know about disc golf.
You know this is the number one course in the nation.
Is that true?
Yes. That is true. And I actually got to meet, Matthew Perry?
Chandler
Got
Bing.
To meet Matthew Perry.
Because of disc golf.
Because of disc golf. And I got to meet Mark McGuire.
If you don't know what it is, disc golf is because it's Frisbee golf. If for lack of a better term. The equipment has not... Hey, those are my old bases.
And I got Mario just went limp.
You know what? I just realized I recognize all these bases because these are the ones when I was still working, recording with you.
They're still the same.
And I grabbed the crappy one. I grabbed the one.
That one's mine.
This is the one.
That's not mine.
A good one.
Well, you're a tall person. Look at him. He's just going to go to town right now.
I'm about to work a mic stand. This is good radio.
Do you want... Here.
No, I got it. I got it.
No. If that's the case, just switch.
No, I got you right here.
We're going to switch.
No, it's perfect.
Oh, my God.
I'm good. I'm easy. Oh, wait. I'm the host.
Give me that damn mic. This is going to be the whole...
Yeah.
The whole podcast.
Now, here's the thing. I like the way you're handling that. Here's the thing. Matt the Rat is producing because we're in the rat cave.
Yes.
But... yeah, so Matt is producing this episode, so thanks to Matt. I'm just kind of keeping an eye on my recorder over here.
Thank you.
So, the notes on the board, don't ramble on or use or like, which means I will have no show this week. So the last time, well, we were talking about disc golf. Let's keep on that. So you got to meet, it's the number one course in the nation. And you basically walk around the park, and it's a huge park, and you have your bag of discs. They're not actual Frisbees. They look more like... Well, they're frisbee shaped, but they're solid.
Yeah, they're solid around the rim, not in the middle. They're not like the plastic ones. And the thing is like the heavier weight there is on the outer rim, it's considered like long drive, medium drive, short drive, putter. So like the putter's extremely heavy, but it's just so you could toss it right into the basket. The long drives are like a lot thinner and they're a lot more narrow.
So you've actually played.
I've played. It's hard. You think it's stupid, but when you start playing it, like, you understand why. Because if you're, like, right-handed and you throw it closer to your left-hand side, it'll swoop down and land into your right. If you throw it further to the right, it'll swoop down and go into the left. Yeah. So it's this stupid, like, I have to throw it all the way to my left, and hopefully it lands directly in front of me.
You want
to
hook it. Yeah. Yeah, it's I've never officially played. We used to, of course, when we were kids, grab Frisbees and just go around the park and try to make them in the, like, you know, like you're shooting baskets.
Yeah.
But we never actually, I've never officially played.
Here, hold on. Let me give your knuckle up.
You can hear that. That's a nice,
it's Morse
code. A nice wood table. This is a nice table. I like the way everybody's facing each other. Matt is, of course, the host of the newly named Comics After Dark. Previously, that was Chaos After Dark.
And previously,
it was when I was with the show, it was Undercity Chaos. And I was with the show for what, about
a year?
A year? Was I
there? Over a year. We were recording, I believe, March or February.
With you,
it was a little over a year.
You started in February of 2013.
January
2013. I started in February. We didn't know each other for the first few months. I had a podcast going, and then I would go into Undercity, and then we met there, and then somehow you're like, you should be on my podcast. And
actually, it wasn't even me. It was Sue.
Was it Sue?
It was Sue that suggested it. It was Martin that pushed it.
Martin was
not Martin, not Martin. Renee that pushed it, and then it was just us conversing one day, and we were just laughing so hard that we were like, "Dude, why aren't you on the podcast?" Yeah. Like, why aren't I on the podcast? Yeah. And then we were like, "Come on!"
So then we did, and then I was there for over. And then Martin and I kind of overlapped because I started bringing Martin with me.
Well, once, yeah.
And so, then Martin really liked it, and so you know, Martin and I don't know if you listened to the episode 71.
I did with Martin on it. Yes.
And you know, we just discussed how we both – it's weird that we both left for the same reason. And the reason is because we're intimidated by you guys because of encyclopedic knowledge.
And I've explained to him several times that the reason that he was on it, like not so much towards the comic book knowledge. He was more there for comical relief. He was The thing is, if you don't have a lot of knowledge towards it, you definitely are the one saying, I just want your key points. Let's get back into this.
And that kind of helps the show flow.
Yes.
Because if you get four guys that are just super nerdy about anything.
Yeah.
It's, you know, because trust me, you've heard my episodes where we just get really keyed up about something.
Yeah, it's like 45 minutes of the Dodgers, and you're like, wait a minute, we're supposed to be talking about the Kinks. What the hell happened?
Yeah, exactly. Those are my only two topics of conversation. But, so I just got to a point, though, where I really felt like, boy, I'm not contributing a lot. It was fun, but I'm not contributing a lot. And I felt like I didn't want to. And then I felt like I got to a point where everything I was saying was just a snarky comment. And then I didn't want to be.
No. You didn't feel like it was a snarky comment.
But I didn't want to be that guy because that guy gets tiresome. You know, it's like nobody wants to hear just somebody.
You're basically the pooping. If you've ever read the new Teen Titans Marv Wolfman run, you're basically Beast Boy. Just kept making those comments. And it's like, dude, can you give it a rest?
Latino?
And you're like.
So I'm Latino.
He, you know, is he Garth?
Yeah.
I forgot his last name.
Is he on the, I think on the cartoon he's Latino.
Dude, you need to let go of that mic, man.
Wait, hold on. Well, because I'm trying to adjust it. I realize it's going in. Keep talking about Marv Wolfman, Beast Boy.
Yeah, basically Beast Boy just makes, just keeps trying to get laid and make snarky comments.
I kind of liked it. I kind of like Beast Boy, but then I also don't like the fact that he's basically just an updated version of the Wonder Twins.
Beast Boy was part of the Doom Patrol, and in order to save him because the title was getting canceled, they pulled him over to the new Teen Titans. I'm actually doing another podcast. I'm doing a few podcasts right now.
Look at you. His name is Garfield Logan, so I guess it's there not. Why did I think he was – who am I thinking of that's Latino?
The only one that I could think of that's Latino in the Teen Titans is Bunker.
No, you know who I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of the kid in the Marvel Universe that can turn into the dinosaur.
Marvel Universe turn into the dinosaur. I don't know.
Oh, my God. It's going to bug me.
Speaking of Latinos, Cisco Vibe
Vibe
is in Flash. If you haven't been watching,
I haven't. You know what?
He's not Vibe yet, but Cisco works for Star Labs, so everybody's crossing their fingers. And supposedly, there's a rumor that on Thursday nights they're going to do a giant team up show between like all the like heroes.
I've heard they're going to do, what is it, Brave and the Bold.
It's supposedly Brave and the Bold. It's supposedly World's Finest. We haven't had anything set in stone yet.
All right, here we go. Hold on, I'm going to find out the name of this stupid character because...
This is great podcasting.
You know, keep going. You're carrying it right now,
I'm carrying it right now. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to go into like every deep, dark skeleton Mario has in his closet. So let's go ahead.
let's see. Superhero Squad, the Falcon, the Hulk, Silver Surfer, Thor, and Wolverine. Oh, what is the name of that? Reptile.
I don't even know who that is.
Reptile, bro.
Although I am trying to push Darkhawk. Do you know who Darkhawk is?
No, who's Darkhawk?
He's...
If you don't say that right... If you say that fast...
Is it like... Did you ever see...
Humberto Lopez.
Did you ever see Will Ferrell's stand-up comedy... stand-up special when he was George W. Bush?
No.
And he's like... That's Niger. He's like, you don't want to be the guy to mess that up. And then, like, after 10 minutes of explaining, he explains the whole plan again, and he messes it up. It was, like, the only time a Caucasian could be like, I could use this word and not get in trouble.
Will Ferrell, you know, is a likable guy. I think he could pull that up. No one
until
else.
Until he hit that chick with the basketball, the cheerleader.
That was for a movie.
No, that was real life.
No, that was for a movie.
What movie?
It's a movie that they're filming. They filmed it at Staples Center.
Oh, shut. No. So what are they doing? Semi-pro? Like,
I don't know.
Reunion?
I don't know. But yeah, it was for a film. It was staged.
All right. I still feel bad for her.
Did you think it was real?
Well, everything he's done, so it's kind of hard because it seems like he doesn't have the proper, like, it seems like he's definitely bending the reality of, like, what is a movie and what's not, with him always going to Staples Center and pretending that he's, like, not a referee. He's, like, one of those guys on the side. I don't know, with line control, maybe. I don't know. And kicking people out and doing stuff like that. So he's on a good one.
Well, he's riding high, Will Ferrell. But I feel like his popularity is way... I feel like he's on the downward trajectory. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
I was like, I don't know. I don't think so.
Why are we talking about Will Ferrell's career?
Because he's... Dude, it's Will Ferrell, man. Name, other than Elf, a really bad movie from Will Ferrell. I rest my case.
Casa de mi Padre?
That was awesome! Dude, you should watch it. You will laugh because you actually know what soap operas look like.
Mexican soap.
Oh, my gosh.
And somebody just posted a really awesome post from some novella from the 90s. I forgot the name of it, but the premise is some guy is kissing this girl, and she's in a wheelchair, and the mom comes in and flips out and, like, beats the guy.
What?
He pulls, like, a knife on
what?
Him. And she just will not stop screaming. And they're like, all my Caucasian friends are like, oh, my God, this is – that's nuts, like, whatever. And I was like, that's typical reaction from my mom when I didn't, like, pick up my toys. What are you talking about?
Nothing new. The best part of Casa de mi Padre is this part where like there's like a panther or a lion or like a cheetah, and it jumps in the air to like kill somebody, and it freezes, and it says like, due to animal rights, like, we were not allowed to air this or continue with this shot. We really apologize, but just know that there was an awesome fight between this like cheetah and the characters. So please enjoy the rest of the movie. And then it's Will Ferrell like all scratched up, and he's like, Yeah, like, it's freaking awesome. And he speaks Spanish through the whole thing.
He does?
He's speaking Spanish. And, like, it's not a Scary Movie 5 kind of thing where they had, like, the Asian kid, and he was, like, Toyota Mishikoma and, like, all this stuff. And it supposedly made, like,
yeah.
a sentence. He either learned full-on Spanish or just got everything translated.
Speaking it phonetically, yeah. That's the way, like... A lot of singers.
Oh, dude. And they have the whole like turning around where like the person turns around and it zooms in on both the faces.
Oh, God. That's awesome.
You got to watch
it. It's on
seriously.
Netflix, and I keep going, I'm going to watch it. And I never do.
You should.
I never do.
It's definitely
so,
worth it.
So tell us now about Chaos After Dark. Now you have a new
Comics
lineup.
After Dark.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. We just rolled it out for our 2-year anniversary. And
happy anniversary.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Truth be told, we changed it because it's convenient for people. Mm-hmm. That's what we're really trying to do over here at Rat House now, is try to make everything convenient. The fact that comics is in it, and now you could just either Google or search in your podcast app comics.
And then you guys will pop up.
Exactly. So that was one of the things that was kind of holding us back, as well as it just makes more sense. And on top of it, we're now releasing our podcast Monday morning at 12 a.m. So everybody that's like the night owls that are into comics.
So is that Monday? So that's Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Sunday
Monday,
midnight.
Like 12 a.m.
Sunday midnight, Monday morning. All right. And you record once a week?
We record once a week.
Here in the Rat Cave?
We have nothing but new segments, which we're really excited about a lot of our segments because now we're getting writers and creators to jump in on it. Mm-hmm. We just got, we have a segment called Cowabunga Chaos where we found a Mad Lib book of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and we're like, we're going to make our own story of the turtles. So, we're doing that, and we initially tried to reach out to the crowds, and the crowds like maybe one or two people were to mm-hmm. participate, but you know, a Mad Lib has what, 10, 15, maybe 20 words you have to fill in.
Yes, sure.
So we figured, why not ask the creators to fill out the Mad Libs? So we have Brian Buccelletta, the guy that's behind Detective Comics. We have Brian Wood, just had his amazing run on Star Wars, he's releasing something in Image in September. We have some guys from Valiant. We have Sterling Gates. He wrote our favorite V-Bay comic. We had a lot of people, and they all were willing to participate.
So this is at the explain to the people, you did a live show recently.
We did a live show for a two-year anniversary where we gave out a whole bunch of comics, and we broke down our history, and we actually got to sit down with Scott Kolblish, the artist behind not only the death of Deadpool, he also did the wedding of Deadpool and has had his hand in Deadpool for a while. We were originally supposed to have a performance from him, but unfortunately, the comic shop that we were recording at got in trouble for live music, so we couldn't have that again. And then at the very end, we ran into a total disaster because we asked everybody to come forward to record with us. And everybody stared at us like just a deer in headlights, like, I'm not going up. We're like, Nando quickly saved it and was like, well, just announce it. And I was like, how the hell are we supposed to do that? And this is recorded, I might add. And I was like, oh, wait, yeah, we can. So we played Guess Who, where you had to guess who the person was. And if you got it correct, you won comics. We gave away signed New Teen Titans by Warv Wolfman. Gave away signed Teen Titans for the New 52.
Mm-hmm.
Gave away the first printing of Arkham Asylum by Grant Morrison. And we gave away Infinity Gauntlet number one.
So now, just so people know, you're no stranger to live shows because your entire first, all of your early Undercity stuff was all done live.
In front of people.
Always done live.
Yes.
Always done.
And we don't edit on that.
Yeah, show. I know that. you don't edit unless the host says something wrong.
Well, yeah. Basically. I make everyone else look bad while I look good. No, well, we have to edit now because a rare case, I'll get extremely pissed. And I'll, like, pause the recording, and I'll just chew the crap out of that person right then.
You've got to leave it on.
And then be like, don't do that, okay? And then I could erase immediately what happened and be like, we're going to go back into it. Think about what you need to say. Do you got what you need to say? They're like, yeah. And you never notice the edit because there's no pop. There's no nothing. I just got it perfectly. I got it snipped right there.
You need to leave it in. We all need to see the real you. The real the you that me and Martin know.
Actually, I don't think Martin knows it that well. No, I've never really.
The reason we're going to give you the real reason Martin and I aren't on the podcast anymore.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I can't believe you're drinking just straight black coffee.
Yeah. It's like motor oil, dude. You never had it?
Oh, my God.
But yeah, we had our live show, and we also had the article on our on what's happening with our live show and our history in OC Weekly.
I saw that you were in OC Weekly. How do you feel?
I feel like I was in OC Weekly.
How did you feel?
Who
was the first person that called and said, hey, I saw you in the OC Weekly?
Nobody called us. They just showed up to the podcast.
So they showed up. How many people did you have at the live podcast?
I think like 30 to 40.
Are you going to have more people out at the – are you going to do more of these or
– I'm actually – okay. I got this huge master plan for everything with Rat House Productions. Mm-hmm. That is definitely one of the things that I want to do every year. We, no matter what, will have our another year anniversary podcast.
One live show, yeah.
Yes. No, there's going to be more. I plan on the way that I'm seeing everything that I have, I'm seeing it more as like music and a concert.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm eventually going to get to the point where I'm going to rent out a hall and I'm going to have like five or six podcasts there, and it's going to be a live show and have everybody in the audience and doing stuff like
that. Have you looked into maybe getting involved with the people that put on LA Podfest? Have you ever heard of the LA Podfest?
I have not.
Got to check that out because they do a live every year. They do a live and it's all live. It's all these people that have their shows have, you know, pretty good followings, and they do, they rent out like, a hotel in like Santa Monica or something,
and they do downtown. The Embassy Suites or something.
Yeah, and then they get like all these people do shows, but it's all the people that have like big podcasts. You know, like Marc Maron and all those guys will come in and do. So you know that's something you might want to pursue because there's a lot of I know they're kind of opening it now, and it's like a lot of they've done it a couple years now, and they're kind of getting a balance between really big podcasts and kind of like cult following podcasts, which is you kind of can straddle that line where you know eventually you're going to break into something huge, and we can all say. Oh, I knew that guy back when.
Well, that was the other big thing that, like, I noticed on the podcast previously recorded with Martin, that you guys were like, oh, well, I'm going to turn to him if he becomes like the Kevin Smith. What if he does a podcast? And truth mm-hmm. be told, not only is that one of my goals to mm-hmm. be to actually have the production company we have right now, mm-hmm. Comics After Dark, as well as The Morning Wood, mm-hmm. which The Morning Wood, we just lost our co-host on that.
What is The Morning Wood?
The Morning Wood is, but it's the morning and like that wood happen. So get corrected on that.
Yeah, I like it.
Morning Wood is supposed to be a 15 to 30 minute podcast to just make you feel good when you wake up in the morning, and
perfect.
Some unknown facts and stuff like that, and like hearing like really messed up stories to be like, God, I'm glad I'm not that guy. Like, no matter what, my day is going to be amazing today. Mm-hmm. So it's not driven towards the geek culture. It's driven towards anybody and everybody. Mm-hmm. So we just lost our co-host on that, but we do have it off the ground.
And who was the co-host?
The co-host was this amazing podcaster named Megan. She also does something called Get in the Lab, mm-hmm. The Get in the Lab podcast, which is a very amazing podcast, which is why I turned to her to be the host for it. And they do stuff like, they really help you with everything viral. So if you want to know like how to get more YouTube subscribers, how to like basically anything in the business sense, mm-hmm. she helps you out.
Oh, cool. That was not a sentence, but I meant to say, okay, cool.
But yeah, we got her on it, but unfortunately we decided to part ways. So we're still on really good terms. Everything was very open. It was more of a test run to be like, hey, you know, is this really up my alley? And when it came down to it, she really didn't feel too comfortable with everything on it. She felt it was a little bit too much out of her element. So the original guy that I ripped off the title from will be the host of it. Because we, like a year ago, sat down and we were having coffee. He's like, what if we had something called like The Morning Wood? I'm like, that's awesome. And I emailed him, hey, dude, like, I'm going to get The Morning Wood off the ground. Is it cool if I use the title? Is it cool if I use the title? Is it cool if I use the title? Three times. Sorry, buddy, it's mine now. So took it. And then finally I emailed him like, dude. And I sent him. He's like, oh, that's awesome. He's like, what a great name. I was like, you created this name. He's like, oh, dude, I don't even remember that conversation.
That's the kind of guy you need to be milking all the time. Have him around, you know, short-term memory. Everything is yours.
Look, I was like, dude, is it cool that I take the name? If we ever make some money, I'll make sure to go ahead and give you some money for it. He's like, oh, yeah, I don't even care, dude. All right. So then I emailed him like a week or two later. And I was like, hey, unfortunately, the host we had isn't working. You want to jump on it? He's like, oh, yeah. And he has a great podcast called the Hooray for Jose podcast. Yeah. You should see his picture. It's awesome. It's like this typical Mexican with a stash, and he's wearing a giant fake fro, but because he made it black and white, it totally looks like a real fro, man. It's awesome.
Hooray for Jose.
Hooray for Jose.
So I'm assuming his name is Jose?
No, it's George. No, of course it is, yeah.
That's an awesome name for a podcast.
It is.
I like this guy. He's full of good ideas.
He really is. He's an awesome guy. He's also doing he's actually filming his podcast too, which we'll get into soon as well with Comics After Dark and anything else that we're going to be producing.
Are you going to do that in here in the Rat Cave, or are you going to look into
Comics After Dark? Will be recorded here in the Rat Cave. We still have the Awkward Man going on Fanboy Nation, but that's an exclusive with Fanboy Nation, and that is
our friend Nando Calrissian. By the way, for those of you who do not know, deep in the archives, it's on record. I think it is on record.
Yes, you were the first one to call
him. I called
him
Nando. I was like, how have you guys not called him? You of all people.
Yeah.
How did you never think to call him Nando Calrissian?
Maybe it's because Lando Calrissian is really cool. And it was like, man. But I guess it makes sense because we could say, like, if Lando was to walk in a room, he'd be like, that's our far distant cousin. Like, you'd be like, all right, cool. Like, you're the cool one. Nando. He just lost it in blood. All right. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, we still have that going. We also are in development of a gamer podcast. And
I'm yawning, but not because of you.
It's okay, no worries. That is actually
because of you.
Thanks. That is actually with we have one of the editors from IGN.
Oh, nice.
Jumping on that. And we're still in development with that, but nothing set in stone, but we got a lot of cool ideas and we got a lot of cool things going back and forth to make sure that this is definitely the right podcast for her.
Yeah, I like that you always go with the females. You have an eye towards the ladies.
We definitely don't want to be diverse. Wait, no. Do we want to
be
diverse?
You don't want to be diverse? Wait, then you should probably get a guy.
We want to be
definitely
diverse.
Have four
we
white guys.
Just be like, hi.
Hello.
My name is Henry.
Well, you know what, though? But I think that's indicative of where... you mentioned that's a gamer.
Yes.
Yeah. that's indicative of where everything's going. It's just... all these people that are mad because, you know, girls are into games or girls are into comics, whatever. Dude, that's just the way it is. And I, for one, think it's awesome because, you still know there's these holdouts that are like, dude, this is for guys only. It's like,
honestly,
why would you want to?
I don't see that at all. Like with me, with the way I was growing up, I was like in punk rock, and then punk rock went into crust, which crust was basically like kind of metal, kind of punk rock. But very humanity and animal rights driven.
Mm-hmm.
So like the whole like, oh, like if somebody's gay, if somebody's black, if somebody's a girl, anything like that, like it's totally over my head because that's like was my following and still held deeply in my heart. So I don't care.
Yeah.
Trisexual, bisexual, whatever the hell you are, you know, race, it doesn't matter. You're a human.
Yeah, yeah, but I think a lot of people still out there are like they won't take to the idea that a girl can be seriously into games. It's always like, oh well, you know, Jessica Chobot from the Nerdist or whatever. That's just like a talking head. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
They're there to like give the news. Dude, there's some serious girl gamers out there, man. Trust me.
They're most likely kicking everybody's butt.
I've had many of my dog tags on Battlefield taken by a girl. Trust me.
And all you hear is, ha ha, and you're like, dude, she's like five, what the hell?
Yeah, the girls still not as prevalent at kicking my ass as like the 12-year-old kids from foreign countries, which, you know.
It's okay, because they're gonna make it juicy for you.
Yeah, that kid, that was, you heard that?
Of course.
I don't know where that kid was, but we were all playing Call of Duty, and that was so awesome because he was just like, after every round, he would just like,
call me so I can make it juicy for you. Call me so I can make
exactly,
it juicy.
That was the exact voice.
Because that's the way Little Wayne sounds, dude.
Oh, my God. Like, and so we were just like, at first we were like, stop it. And then after a few minutes, we all just started doing
okay,
it.
So when you guys were listening to Little Wayne, if you guys haven't listened to the previous podcast with Martin Cook,
episode 71,
there's this amazing part that you guys are talking about, and like Lil Wayne says something, and Martin addresses it, and that's the way Lil Wayne is. And I wanted to bring this lyric on. I believe it is, you don't want to mess with Wayne, because when it wanes, it pours. I was driving with my buddy when we first heard that for the first time, and he's like, did he just say when it wanes, it pours? And ever since then, when it rains, we actually text each other, when it rains, it pours.
How has Scott Center or anybody else never snuck that into a Batman comic where Bruce Wayne is just extra douchey
and says that
to like a girl?
But you know what? There's
Bruce Wayne.
There's a lot of punk rock in comics now. If you read the legendary Star-Lord, if you guys are Aquabat fans, dude, like Star-Lord just wants to listen to Aquabats. I don't know why I couldn't get through that whole sentence right now, but yeah, he just wants to listen to Aquabats.
So does Star-Lord have contact with Earth now, so he knows Aquabats? Are we going on movie timeline?
We're going to comic timeline, and I'm guessing he does. I mean, they also just got like Venom up in there, so he's from Earth, and that's Flash Thompson, so.
It's Flash Thompson.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, hold on. Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back,
we'll actually address something because we've been rambling.
Well, that's always the first 30 minutes. That's always the first 30 minutes. So we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back from that break.
By the way, I just want to thank Mario could go ahead and thank me for giving him his highest rated podcast, which is the Disney Honda one, which he avoided for months.
That is the most that, for some reason, that has the most appeal, and I think it's because
who doesn't want to hear about Disney and it being haunted?
And it being haunted, yeah. It's my the Matt Gourley episode is closing fast.
Is it?
Yeah, the Matt Gourley episode is closing.
Bastard.
But that guy has like 20 podcasts.
It's okay. And I got like three.
So. By the way, speaking of Matt Gourley and ghosts, Amanda, Matt Gourley's girlfriend, was also my guest on that show. You need to go to you can go on YouTube now because it was on Yahoo, but they reformatted all their stuff. But go check out her. She did a series of Yahoo shorts called Ghost Girls with another girl, Maria Basucci, and they play like ghost hunters, but they're really dumb ghost hunters. It's Ghost Girls, GHIRLS. Check it out. You will love it.
There's this guy named like Steven something. I forgot what he's on, like one of those. Oh, no joke. Somebody just texted me, Star Wars Convention in Anaheim. I'm like, yes, I know. Like, out of all the people, out of all the text messages, this is a perfect time to be texting me that.
That is like telling me where In-N-Out is. Yeah, I know where that In-N-Out is. All right?
You don't have to address it to me. Yeah, I know. But his name is Stephen. I can't even find it.
Stephen Hawking. Stephen King. Stephen Curry.
It's like S something.
Stephen.
I know it's E-S.
Garvey.
This guy does some awesome. He like sucks on helium and he sings like David Bowie. It's freaking hilarious. And he plays guitar too. So that's the funny thing about it. Anyways. He has this one called like Ghost Finders. And I guess, I don't know if Del Toro, like, produced it or what happened, but it was so horrible because it's, like, these two guys that are supposedly brothers, and I kid you not, I think they make out, like, halfway.
Oh, no.
And they're like, yeah, bro, I got you. He's like, yeah, you too. You want a back massage? And they're like, there's a girl there, and she's like, I even think this is too much. I don't know what's going on.
Maria Blasucci Blasucci. But you check it out, please. Right. It's so funny. You'll like it. And like a lot of people have cameos on it. There's a lot of big names on there. And I think Jack Black had a hand in producing.
Jack Black is like probably the world's most underrated comedian. A lot of people like him, but a lot of people don't follow him.
He's pretty great.
I mean, have you ever heard the first Tenacious D album?
Of course.
Oh, my God.
Have you ever seen him on Yo Gabba Gabba?
No, he was on Yo Gabba Gabba?
When my daughter was little and she was just getting out of the Yo Gabba phase, like the Yo Gabba Gabba phase. Like she was just making...
You're like, no, this is the good one. No,
she was just making the transition from preschool into like kindergarten. I think that was her last favorite thing was that episode with Jack Black on it. I was so happy.
Wasn't Elijah Wood on there too?
I believe everybody's been on that show. It's very popular. It's very hip to be on Yo Gabba Gabba.
I also believe, I could be wrong, it's either Yo Gabba Gabba or somebody else. They're actually like a hardcore band. Like,
oh, okay.
They play like legit music.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it is Yo Gabba Gabba. Because I remember my friend addressing it. And he's like, yeah, they're part of... And it's not like that. It's a little hardcore band, like... They're very well known. And I was like, how the hell did I know that?
I forgot. So the creator or something is somebody really... welcome to Yo Gabba Gabba Talk. But yeah, Jack Black does make a huge appearance on there. He has a whole episode. It's one about friends because he gets lost and he's... Oh, is this the Jack Black?
Sounds like some new friends now.
Oh, this is awesome.
Hey, Jack. I think I better let you know that we're running really low on gas.
I know, but I don't really know where we are.
Look over there. I think we can make it.
Oh, no, Jack. Jack, we're going down.
His motorcycle's talking to him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ow, my tire.
Oh, gosh. What kind of place is this? Dude, this has to be... as bad as Brutal Legends. Did you ever play Brutal Legends?
No.
Do you know what Brutal Legends is?
No.
Dude, it's a game that Jack Black made.
Yeah. I remember that. It was on Xbox. Yeah. I did play it. I'm trying to figure out.
You had like Judas Priest in the background on loop, man. It was crazy.
Look, there you go. There's the crossover. the lead singer of the Aquabats was the creator of Yo Gabba.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So yeah, it was Aquabats.
I believe the Aquabats are Mormon.
No.
I believe they are.
No.
I believe they are.
You know, you go to like an Aquabat show, you could see so many movie stars there. And like just famous people. I guess the last time my friend went, he was like, dude, that's Tony Hawk. Like,
they've been around for a while.
Been around for a long, long time.
Hold on. I believe, I don't know why I think they're Mormon.
I have no idea why you think they're more. I've never heard that before in my life.
Why do I think that?
Should we show the audience who the Aquabats are?
Yeah, can you do that? No, they can't see them.
Why?
Because well,
they could hear them.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, yeah.
All right, we're going to go ahead. We're going to get into the Aquabats. This is super rad.
Here you go. Some nice early 90s ska.
Speaking of No Doubt from the previous episode.
Oh, yeah.
You should see, dude, look at this music video.
Have you ever watched their show? They have a TV show. It's on Netflix.
Is it?
It's a kid's show, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like a spoof of like the Japanese Ultraman and those kind of shows.
Oh, God. Okay. No, I know Ultraman. There's this one TV show I've still been trying very hard to describe, and no one's been able to
figure it out. What's it called? It's called Attack on Titan, and it's terrifying.
Oh, God. Did you hear about the live Attack on Titan they're having?
They're going to do a movie, yeah.
No. It's an event.
What's going on?
I think it's either at UCLA or something like that, and it's an event, and you have to figure out clues and do certain things before the Titans like come and kill you.
What?
And like a whole bunch, you could sign up online. So go ahead and look it up. I believe it's called Escape from, I don't even know what city it is that they're in, but it's like Escape from something.
We're going.
I will not be doing that. Okay. I'm not into Attack on Titans. Sorry.
Did you watch it?
I tried watching an episode.
I'm not a huge anime fan, but they're really disturbing. Back to the Aquabats. The great-grandson of prominent Mormon leader LeGrand Richards, Jacobs, lead singer of the Aquabats, is a lifelong member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I did not know.
In 1991, he left the U.S. to serve as a missionary. So, yeah, I had heard that.
That means that's
probably why their lyrics are always like pretty family-friendly.
Light, bright, and whatnot, yeah.
Yeah.
Which also probably means that half of his money goes back to the church.
Yeah, so. And we're probably getting subliminal messages, so I've got to go to put on my long underwear. I kid way, my I... Mormon friends. What?
That's so mean.
No, we won't get it.
That's like, dude, that's like addressing Jewish people. Like, I want to wear those cool little hats. And you're like, no, you don't do that.
You can make fun of underwear. You can't be Mormon.
Why? Because I'm drinking coffee?
Drink that coffee.
Is it like on a...
You're excommunicated,
what
bro.
What was that, Kingpin? When he's like...
Oh, he's Amish.
Like, yeah, he's like, you can't have any... Like, we don't have coffee because it makes you sterile. And he's like, what do you think smoking is? And he's like, really? He's like, oh, if that's the case, make it a large, a whole bunch of sugar, two things of milk. And he's like, all right, whatever.
No, it's not makes you sell. It's a narcotic. It's a drug is what he says. Caffeine is a drug, I think he says.
Oh, does he say that?
He's like, what do you think a cigarette is?
Yeah, no, whatever.
I just broke that out. I have not watched Kingpin in forever. And I busted it out the
Bill
other day.
Murray, dude.
Of course. Did you watch Saturday Night Live?
I didn't. No.
Okay. The best 30 seconds was Bill Murray doing his old lounge singer, and he sang the love theme from Jaws.
Oh, God.
That was it. That was the highlight.
Did it just go, da-da?
No. It was Paul Schaefer from David Letterman's band going, da-da, da-da, da, and Bill Murray going, Jaws. So look it up. See if you can find it on there.
All right.
Yeah, the 40th anniversary was cool. I liked it. There was a lot of old, a lot of new. Chevy Chase looked a little lost.
Oof. Poor Chevy Chase. I still love...
Well, you know he and Bill Murray do not like each other, right?
No, I don't know.
You never heard that story?
No.
You want me to tell it real quick? I'll tell you what I know.
Please.
So Chevy Chase is like the breakout. When Saturday Night Live starts the first season, Chevy Chase is like the breakout guy. He does The Fall. He does The Live from New York. Everybody loves him. So he goes on to have a movie career. Wait, let me know when you have it queued up. He goes on to have this, you know, he's the first guy to leave the show. So Bill Murray is like his replacement, right? So Chevy Chase came back to host the show. And I guess everybody that was on SNL at the time was like bad-mouthing Chevy Chase, saying he was arrogant and he was difficult to work with. And he really let the success go to his head like halfway through the season. He was just impossible to work with. So Bill Murray said, you know, I took it upon myself being the new guy. Nobody else wanted to confront him about it. So when Chevy Chase returned like the next season to like host the show, I guess Bill Murray was just, they did not hit it off. And Bill Murray had no problem telling him, you're an a-hole or whatever.
Yeah, but it's Bill Murray. Of course he's going to tell you.
So I guess at one point, he got tired of it. And Chevy Chase called Bill Murray like pizza face. Because, you know, he's got the...
Yeah.
And Bill Murray just told him, you're a medium talent.
That's like being like, you're a Z-list actor.
Yeah, you're medium. Like, you're not bad, but you're not good. And so I guess... So then when they did that scene in Caddyshack, when they went to Caddyshack, they had to sit in a room together and improv. Because they were like the two biggest stars at the time.
Yeah.
And they're like... Harold Ramis was like, there's no way you guys cannot be in a scene in this movie together. So that whole scene where... they're smoking out together and stuff. They had to like sit down and write it and like come up with it. So like, but I guess Chevy Chase says that they like buried the hatchet like on the set, but they were, I don't think they were ever, but they had to like, so that scene, when you watch it, you just got to know that those two guys did not
have a
good history.
Yeah,
so.
It's okay. It was the perfect moment for them together.
There you go. Yeah. So it makes it even funnier when you think, okay, they're both at least they were both professionals. What do we got?
Yeah. Fair enough on that. All right, here we go. We got it. That is the worst singing I've ever heard. Well, I expected like
no,
some that was great.
That
like,
was the character.
I expected like some great like soprano voice.
No. That was his. You never heard him do Star Wars in that?
No.
Oh my God! Look up Bill Murray, lounge singer, Star Wars. That was his whole shtick. He was a horrible lounge singer, and he would just sing these. Oh yeah, you're too young to know that.
Oh man. Was Chewbacca in the actual singing of it or no?
No, it's just him doing a...
Do you want to do the first performance of Nick the Lounge Singer?
Find the one. It's Nick Ocean is his name.
Yeah.
Find the Star Wars.
Here, hold on. Here he is. Oh, dude, he does Stairway to Heaven. Oh, God. Thank you. Oh, I feel bad for everybody that has had to listen to this throughout time.
It's
in
supposed
general.
To be.
What?
Don't let them in.
He's getting into it. Oh, gosh.
That's a perfect rendition of, like, by the time I was growing up, that kind of entertainment was dying out. But there were people that would do that. You'd go to, like, Vegas, and there'd be lounge singers who would just make songs about, like...
stuff that didn't
make
sense.
Yeah, I'm going to do the love theme from Spartacus. It's like, why are you going to do that? Who is that going to entertain? So that was a perfect... good old Bill Murray.
Oh, that is horrible.
Favorite Bill Murray movie?
Probably Groundhog's Day.
Groundhog Day?
Groundhog Day or, crap, what was that other one?
A little bit of trivia.
Maybe Stripes.
Stripes is great.
Other than that, the best movie he's
what
ever
about
been
Ghostbusters?
In. Well, you know what? That just takes the whole cake. But it has to be Ghostbusters. No, the first one? Maybe? No, the second? No, the second one. He's more sassier in that one. I know people like the first one a lot better, but... he's already like on top of, well, technically already, not on top, but on top. So he's like even more cockier through the whole thing. And he's like, oh, we're going to do this again.
But that's really kind of where he was. Like, really, in real life, he didn't want to do like.
He didn't want to do the third one either. Yeah. And that's why it was in like limbo for so long. And he eventually did come out, I believe, on Letterman or something, and he's like, you know what would be cool is if I got killed off the first 10 or 15 minutes into it, so I came back as like a ghost informant. But he's really hard to get a hold of. You know, he doesn't have an agent.
He doesn't have an agent. You have to call him and leave a voice message. And if he likes you, he'll call you back.
Or he'll just go to your ice cream truck because it's Bill Murray Day.
I think I've told this story before, but when they made Rushmore, Jason Schwartzman, former drummer from Phantom Planet, like that.
I knew he was the drummer. Nobody believed me.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Nobody believed. He actually did drums for, I believe he did drums for Bright Eyes, too. But I think it was only for one album.
Maybe. I don't know. But I will tell you that Jason Schwartzman tells a great story about for months after they made Rushmore. Because that was his first movie. You know, he was kind of an unknown, even though his mom's famous. He's Francis Ford Coppola's nephew. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I sound like such a know-it-all. You know that, right? Anyway, I'm sorry. But
how dare you question my knowledge.
He said for months afterwards, like, he'd get voicemails, and it would just, like, be, like, 10 seconds of silence, and then it would just be a voice going, Schwartzman? The Jason Schwartzman? And it'd be Bill Murray just leaving him like But well, can you imagine that Bill Murray tone of voice?
I can. And that's the thing is that Bill Murray, like, he's such a child at heart. I might add, he must have a lot of money in order to have this much time on
his hands. I'm pretty sure he does.
But I really can't imagine that because you don't see anybody else that's been, you know, on SNL and be like, I'm set without making a crap ton of movies.
No, but he makes a lot of movies. Bill Murray's done a lot. And he's kind of had that resurgence, like, since Wes Anderson. He's doing, like, more serious roles and he's getting stuff like that. I mean, but the guy, he was a huge star in the 80s. I mean, he was big. He was, you just said it, Caddyshack, Stripes, Ghostbusters,
Groundhog Day.
All those movies were huge, you know. He was in stuff that isn't so fondly remembered, like Scrooge.
Yeah,
stuff.
But
they were big hits at the time.
But then he also did Osmosis Jones, so think about that.
I like him. I do like him. You know what? Because it's the Farrelly brothers. It's the Farrellys.
The Farley brothers?
Yeah. We just talked Kingpin and something about Mary Kingpin.
They did on Osmosis Jones.
Yeah, I like it. Well, you got William Shatner as the voice of the mayor.
Oh, he is. He's also in Fanboys.
Speaking of which,
let's go ahead. Let's do it.
Let's talk about it.
Let's get into the weekly trip.
Not yet. We got to the break.
Oh,
but we are going to talk about Leonard Nimoy, man. I'm really glad that you got to kind of like see. We'll talk about the weekly checkup, and it was really funny because your text was, you're like, hey, do I have to watch a Star Trek episode? I was like, you got to watch two, man, because we're doing two at
once. Yeah, thanks.
And then you're like, really? And I was like, and then I said, I made a mistake because I told you to watch episode 13
and
14.
It was 14 and 15.
And I go, no, it's 15. You're like, I only have to watch 15. And I was like, no. You have to watch 14.
Like, damn it.
It's exactly what
There's no way out of this.
Capital letters. Damn it. But it's weird,
knowing that he's gone.
Knowing just because he's such a you and I are big Star Wars guys. I'm a huge Star Wars guy.
Yes,
it took me a long time to warm up and get into Star Trek, and that came a lot later in my life.
It took me this moment right now to get warmed up to Star Trek.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about that. That's awesome. I'm really glad you liked it. But for me to see like Nimoy gone is weird because. Like some of the actors have already died, you know, from Star Trek. DeForest Kelly, who plays Dr. McCoy, Scotty passed away. But this was like a big one because he was still like he was in the new Star Trek stuff.
Yeah. And that was the thing I wanted to talk about too.
He's been on a lot of TV shows. He was on Fringe. He's done cameos like on The Big Bang Theory.
The best cameo ever. We're going to talk about it right after this break.
Oh, look, he's running my show. We will be right back. It's not even time for a break yet.
It's okay. We're going to take it anyways.
We should take a break. We're going to take a break right after I'm done telling this story. So Bill Murray. I'm just kidding. Did Bill Murray and Leonard Nimoy ever work together? Oh, I don't know. We're going to be late 60 degrees.
Wait. We're about to go into this amazing break song, and I'm going to tell Mario now for both your intro, outro, and break song, you need to give us the full-length song one of these days because they're awesome.
Which one? The
All three.
Of my... Oh, the break song, that disco song I use on my show? That's just something DJ Sadness, my daughter, came up with We worked on that together.
What?
On a program. Yeah, yeah. We have
really?
Like a little DJ program. We worked on that together. Well, she started it, and then I kind of helped her out with like some of the, you know. And then I'm glad you mentioned that because Rick Solom is from a group called, he's got a little duo called Shakedown Mambo. And he's this awesome piano player who specializes in New Orleans music. And that's Rick Solom playing the piano, and that's a song he's got. And that's actually the same song. So one day I'll play the whole song for you guys because I think Rick will give me permission. But thank you for making it because I never mentioned it. But you can check him out at shakedownmambo.com, and I always forget to mention Rick. But I use the music courtesy of him. So thanks a lot, Rick, wherever you are. I'm sure he's listening. Maybe. So he's let's not. Take a quick break. I think Matt has to poop because he drank too much coffee. And we will be right back. Oh, God. Don't do that. This isn't Comics After Dark.
Not anymore. We're going with Onidred.
We'll be right back.
Anyone want to switch seats?
Krusty wants out!
No. The world needs laughter. Well, my work is done here.
What do you mean your work is done? You didn't do anything.
Didn't I?
Yes, the best cameo from Leonard Nimoy was in The Simpsons.
Yes, he was on The Simpsons as well, man.
On the bullet train. The monorail, dope.
Did not.
The best is when the guy's like, does anybody want to trade seats with me? He's just talking to himself. It's so awesome.
Good old, The Simpsons really had like, that's what I love about The Simpsons is they'll pull guys that they love and put them in those cameos. And so whenever you got like a Leonard Nimoy or something, it was really, really great because you knew it was kind of their, you know, love letter to Spock. But so your two episodes this week. Yes, sir. Oh, he's ready. If I had a question, he's giving me the Vulcan sign. I can never do that.
You still can't.
I still can't. I cannot do it. I cannot do the Vulcan.
I don't understand how you can't.
I don't know.
And close it up.
I can't close it up. They close. It's like my wife can't wink. My wife can't wink, and I just laugh at her because I'm like, just close blink. The eye. She can't because she has to close both. What's wrong with you? It's a matter of defective.
Shut up. She's like, you can't do the Vulcan sign. I can't.
I got a rubber band like my pinky and my...
You would never be able to play guitar. You'd be like, I'm hitting the wrong note.
Is that true? Do I need those two?
You need like full control of all your fingers to move them around.
I get full control?
Okay. All right.
I just can't.
Yeah. I don't know.
Are you saying I can never play guitar?
Probably not. You're like Marty McFly. You already got into your car accident.
Dang. I'm like Eric Stoltz before I get replaced by Michael J. Fox.
Oh, yeah. You guys just mentioned that. Then they filmed the whole movie. That, screw this guy.
Yeah, he's out. Like 2 weeks in. They're like, not working out. But you get to be the drug dealer in Pulp Fiction. So that's like here.
Oh, is that the guy?
That's Eric Stoltz. Yeah.
That's the adrenaline
yeah,
shot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's him. He was going to be the original.
You got to stab her three times? No, you got to go through her chest plate.
The kid from Mask. He's a kid in Mask.
There's what, The Mask?
No. The movie Mask, which was a huge...
flop because I don't know what it is.
No, it was a huge thing in the 80s. It was about a boy who had this disease that basically made him look like he was wearing, like his face was deformed.
Is it like porcelain? Or?
No, it looked like at the time they wouldn't show anything in the previews, and it was like this big thing, like what does the kid look like? And Eric Stoltz plays, it was based on a true story about this kid that had this disease that deformed his face. It basically made him look like he was just like really, like every, all of his cheeks, forehead, everything was just puffed out, like huge, blown up. And so that was, I forgot the boy's name, Rocky something. And Eric Stoltz, that's what he was most famous for. Cher played the mom I don't. Oh, Sam Elliott's the dad. How do I remember this?
I don't know. I don't even know what you're talking about right now. I've never heard of this movie at
Netflix
all.
Netflix it. You have Netflix. You have the information. You have more information now than anyone's ever had.
Yeah, and they're taking off Doctor Who. I'm so bummed.
They're not taking off Doctor Who. Yeah. No, Netflix. They
renewed the contract?
Yeah.
Oh, they better have.
Oh, did you finally finish that?
I've been finished for a while.
Did you? How did you? We'll get back to weekly checkup. I knew we shouldn't have taken that break.
We could do a third one. It's not that bad.
This is a third one.
This is the second one.
No, it's our third segment.
Yeah, but we could.
We do three segments and we don't edit.
You've edited.
I have. I had to sometimes.
Yeah.
You've heard some of my guests.
I'm going to throw out an edit right now. And we're back from the edit.
And
you
we're
guys.
Back from the edit. Yeah. I don't edit unless it's something like there's like a noise or something goes wrong in the background.
Oh, like a dinging?
Oh, yeah. Dude. People are always like, what is that sound? Yeah, I've just gotten used to it, and other people listen. They go, "You gotta get that to stop,
dude." It's by far the most annoying thing to just have that thing in the background, and you don't want to hear it, but it's there. It happened to me at work last night. I was working on something, and all I hear doo 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 doo, and I'm like, "Oh, just shut it off!"
Can you imagine being on a?
It's an AC unit. I don't care.
On a submarine? What if you'd never survive on
Speaking of submarines, that's what the Enterprise apparently is, because it moves at the slowest speed in the world.
It's moving fast. Space.
No, it's not.
Space is so vast.
They're gonna reach the neutral line.
The neutral zone.
Neutral zone. How long will it take, Mr. Spock? 4 hours. Like, why are you guys worried? You're good.
Light speed, bro. Light speed. Okay, so let's talk about it.
Let's talk about 14.
Episode 14?
Yes.
Conscience of the King?
Wow.
Did you like it? So what's your let's give your background. I like everybody to give their background. What was your background with Star Trek before having seen this episode?
The only thing I ever remember, and we addressed this before the podcast, was I remember the Enterprise sinking into the water, and apparently there was whales.
Okay, so that wasn't the actual Enterprise. That was a Klingon bird of prey.
Okay.
With stolen with technology they stole from episode 15. It has a cloaking device on it when you watch the episode.
Okay.
Those Klingons had a cloaking device. And that ship was actually left over from Star Trek 3, which is when they went looking for Spock's body, which they shot out of a torpedo tube in Star Trek 2 when they thought Spock was dead.
Guys, we made a mistake. He's alive, damn it. Why did we shoot him out?
He regenerated on the Genesis planet.
Oh, gosh.
So if you watch 2, 3, and 4, they work together as like a whole one story. So you saw the end of that, and that's the Klingon ship that because they had to blow up the Enterprise.
That's the only thing I remember. And I remember being a kid and being like, why am I watching this?
That's really not a kid. If you're a kid, you should probably be watching like Wrath of Khan, which is like the more space battle.
Well,
it's the most Star Wars of the original.
I don't even remember that. My parents, I didn't realize till probably 2 or 3 years ago. They were very like science fiction like nerds, but not only in like the movie cinematic universe.
Yeah.
So like, I grew up watching Back to the Future, Star Wars.
Star Wars.
We just recently talked about the Supergirl movie. Do you remember the Supergirl movie?
Yes, it was terrible.
Okay, tell me if I'm wrong. Wasn't there a part where like people are walking around like a platform and like glass breaks and people are getting like sucked out or something?
I don't remember that part.
Okay, maybe it wasn't that.
Who wasn't Supergirl? It was. Oh my god, I gotta look it up.
But yeah, they just did a couple of updates on the Supergirl TV show that they're going to have.
They're going to do a Supergirl TV show?
Yeah, they are. And it actually seems pretty interesting. Dean Cain is going to come back and be in it. So Dean Cain might be the father of Supergirl, or the Earth father of the Supergirl.
It was 1984 it was released, and it is...
horrible. I mean, a really amazing movie. Anybody that loves the Supergirl movie, I'm sorry. I just remember that, like, some part like that. Maybe it wasn't Supergirl. Maybe it was Superman. I don't remember.
Helen Slater. That's who it was.
Yes. I remember being scared, and we had a conversation recently on Comics After Dark, episode 91, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I'm scared of space.
Just in general?
Yeah. I like this. I like gravity. Mm-hmm. I like the Earth.
Uh-huh.
I like being on the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything else that either takes me off of that, or mm-hmm. makes me not on the ground, basically water or heights. scares the living crap out of
me. Okay, so you have a fear of heights?
I do. I have a horrible fear of heights. But I mean, like, I'll still ride roller coasters. It wasn't until like a year or two ago I rode Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. But with space, it scares the living crap out of me. So yeah. If everyone's like, look, you guys, we have to go to Mars. Earth is done. All the volcanoes are going off. We somehow messed up the North and South Pole, and just everything is overflowing. We got to go. I'd be like, have a good one, you guys. Enjoy your new colony on Mars.
You wouldn't be able to make the flight. Well, just knock yourself out. We'll give you some of that 18.
No, dude.
BA Baracus.
I didn't tell you what happened when I went to New York.
No.
Dude, I took sleeping pills so I can knock out on the flight. I might add it was at night, so I couldn't look down and be like, or look on the wing and be like, there's someone on the wing. Yeah. There's some thing.
Stewardess, there's someone out there.
No, I'm doing the Jim Carrey one. I'm sorry. What were you saying? No, but I took sleeping pills. My body fought it, and I stayed up the whole damn ride over there. So then when I landed, I was pissed. I was cranky. I wanted to sleep. The pills were still in my system. It was the worst thing ever.
You got to do like what I did was I went to Hawaii.
Xanax?
I'm terrified of flying. As soon as we got on the plane, I was just like,
give me a drink.
Yep. Yeah. Just like, yeah. Bring it on.
So you can accept your death? It doesn't make me feel any better.
Yeah, there you go.
And that would be worse for me flying over the ocean because I don't even get to land on land. I get to land in the ocean, so I'm like, great. It's like double the fear right
here.
So
the sharks can get you.
Yeah.
Well, here's a little thing about Helen Slater. The reason I remember Helen Slater is because she was also in a movie called The Legend of Billie Jean. Not a good movie, but I remember it.
Is that not her lover?
But
was she just a girl?
But let me tell you this. Yeah, she's a girl who claimed that she was the one. She was the voice of Talia al Ghul in Batman the Animated Series.
Really?
Yes. So there you go. There you go. And right now she's on Young and the Restless. But yeah, that's...
I believe she's also coming. We're also going to have Ally McBeal, the chick that played Ally McBeal, to come on Supergirl as well. She's going to be Cat Grant, which if you've been reading the new 52 Superman, Cat Grant right now was a person that started like the blog with Clark, and it was like Cat Clardock Bliss or something.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, she's also going to be on.
All right. We're getting off topic because of Supergirl. We're looking forward to that Supergirl show, though. But we're going to talk about Trek. Episode, what was this episode? But
yeah, actually, to bring it all in, that's why I was scared of space. So, like,
we're talking about your fear of space.
Yeah, so like Star Wars, anything like that, it was cool when they were inside, but I got like really panicky when I used to watch like Darth Vader and the TIE Fighter and then go to the X Wing.
Uh huh.
Even when I was a kid and I rode Star Tours, like I would get panicky.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder, is it the sensation of flight? Is it being...
It is. Because, I mean, I could look at space and I'm not like, and like cringing to the ground. But like imagining myself in space, no, there's no way.
So here's the thing. This is a perfect episode for you to start in because it mostly all takes place...
On the ground. Or in the ship. Or deep into the ship where you don't really have an outside view.
Did you see the new Star Trek movie? Have you seen the J.J. Abrams one?
Yes, I did. I saw the first one.
Because there's that horrifying scene that they've never shown in any of the Star Trek movies of when they're under attack and they're inside the ship and like a hole opens up and people get sucked out into space. And you're like, dude, they've never shown that. That is like awful. Like, you know what I mean? Well, they did that on the Battlestar Galactica TV show a couple times where people got like vented out into space. And it's like, what a horrible way to die.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't really have to worry about it because I don't think we're ever going to space.
I don't know, dude. We're supposedly going to have AI by 2017.
2017?
That's 2 years.
We already kind of have AI.
What, Ultron?
That's coming this year. That's like 4 months away, baby.
Yeah, I know. I'm so excited.
So you're watching. Your parents were kind of like...
Indiana Jones, all those movies, they definitely like... Yeah, yeah. Instilled on me, but Star Trek was the only one I really don't remember.
Okay, so what was in your mind when I told you, okay, you got to watch these? What were you thinking this was going to be like?
I imagined Fat Shatner and a really horrible red sweater that's supposed to be a uniform.
So you had kind of like a mixed,
I had like the movie
view
of it.
Movies.
So when I did watch it, oh my gosh, like I instantly fell in love because I love like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
And it definitely reminded me of a old school Twilight Zone kind of feel.
The same production values.
Yeah. And like the music,
yeah.
The way everything flowed, the makeup, just everything. Other than every time something bad would happen, they'd do like the tilt camera.
Yeah.
Or the most horrible thing was like the light was just on the eyes. On the eyes.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't care. I don't care about his eyes.
That's a really Star Trek-y kind of like.
Yeah.
What I always tell people is that Star Trek was a great show, and a lot of times they just didn't have the budget, but their stories are always really solid, and they're these really great stories.
And this one was awesome. Like, in a nutshell, the show was there's this general that was part of this just onslaught. Of, I think they said 4,000.
They slaughtered like all these thousands of people.
Yeah, and
he escaped.
He escaped, and he's the only one that did escape. And only 9 people have been able to identify his face. And apparently, these people have been getting killed throughout the galaxy. And one of the few was like, "This is him. He's now in this play. We need to get him." And Kirk is like, "Look, not yet. We can't damn a man unless we get 110% facts that this is him." And they go through the whole thing. Unfortunately, the other person gets killed. So there's only 2 other people that recognize him as what was it? It was something the Destroyer.
I forgot. Oh, here, I'll tell you right now. It was a cool name because it was just like a weird... Kodos.
Yeah. And the way, like,
I think Kodos,
the way Shatner would say it.
Kodos.
Kodos, the Destroyer. Like, yeah.
And if you ever watch Futurama, the name of the two alien, it's on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
The two aliens are named Kang and Kodos.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
was it from that?
I think it's that's what it,
damn, I didn't even think about that. But you find Shatner, or not Shatner, what's his character again in it?
Captain Kirk
tries to get close to the daughter
of course.
This person.
Do you mean Space Andrea?
Yes.
Didn't she remind you of Andrea from Walking Dead?
She kind of did. I kind of liked her. I thought she was very cute.
Yeah. All those Star Trek always cast really beautiful 60s style.
We'll talk about that in 15. We'll talk about that in 15.
60s style girls to be.
But he tries to get close to her to figure out what's going on, and at the very end you find out that it's actually the daughter that has been killing off all these people throughout the universe, and she's like, "I'm doing it because I love you, and I'm trying to protect you," and he was like, "My blood was never supposed to stay in your hands."
Yeah.
And she's like, "But your hands are clean now," and at the very end, what's his name again?
Captain Kirk.
No, not Kirk. The Destroyer guy.
Kodos.
Kodos, the Destroyer. Saves Shatner's, not Shatner, dang it. I'm sorry,
you
I only
say
know
Shatner.
Shatner's life as the daughter tries to kill him. So it was. Oh.
It's like a reverse Hamlet.
Yes.
And then there's a whole thing.
And that's the whole thing that they're acting thing, out Hamlet. And this is like.
Space Hamlet.
This is to like reenact the tradition of theater that happened on Earth and all this other stuff. And add this. The effects on it. Okay, how do I explain this?
Well, they redid it. Let me tell you what they did, and I explain this all the time, too. When the CBS a few years ago remastered the effects, so you can tell like they're like 3D, like the space shots are all.
Yeah.
What they did is they took the original models and scanned them, so they still look 60s, but they made like the planets like round and three-dimensional.
Yeah.
They're not just flat on a mat.
Which is awesome.
They kind of make it look CGI, but they still kept it 60s.
Yeah.
They still kept it 60s.
Well, the buttons and everything, that was the really cool thing, because when I was watching it, it totally pulled me into it. I think it had to have been not the cockiness of it, but just the way it was performed was just, you totally believed whatever he was hitting or whatever he was doing. Like, it was dead on supposed to be that way. Like, the sequence, everybody in this show was 110% dedicated to anything and everything they did.
That's awesome that you noticed that, because George Takei and then later on Walter Koenig, who plays Chekhov, who doesn't show up till the end, they were told, like, don't just push random buttons. You have to make it look like this is what you're doing. Like, if you're going to scan the planet, it's this sequence. If you're going to do this, it's this.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't just look like somebody play acting.
It's not just random buttons.
Like, this is this dude's job.
It's like, not like, what was that one movie with the guy with the big blue head? Megamind. Where they're like, why do you have all these things? Do you buy it at, like, shinybutton.com? And he's like, actually, it's shinybutton.net. And he's like, shut up! It wasn't like that at all. And that was the cool thing about it.
And here's a little thing, too. I always get that feeling with Harrison Ford in the Millennium Falcon.
Yes.
Where he, like, he's flipping switches.
And he, like, pulls, like, a lever slowly. Yeah. And you're like, that never happens again in any of the movies.
But it's like, you know that he's, like, in that scene where he, the thing I'm thinking of is when, in Empire, when he's trying to fix a ship and they come up on the asteroid field and he runs up and she's like, whatever. And he's like, he flips the four switches at the top and you hear the ship go, and it's like, oh, dude, that's awesome. He just, like, turned the autopilot off or whatever he did, you know. But it looked like he knew what he was supposed to be doing. Yeah. And always Mr. Sulu, George Takei, oh, my. He's really good at doing that because they show him a lot.
He's not as flamboyant, if you will, during this time.
There is a scene, there is an episode that we've already passed where he gets, like, they go down this planet and they get this stuff on him and it makes everybody, it basically acts like everybody's drunk.
It's glittery.
Yeah. It basically acts like everybody's drunk and he's running around this ship with no shirt and a sword. So that's where but you know what? Young George Takei ripped. I'm not kidding.
Really?
Yeah, ripped.
I might add Shatner.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah. Looking pretty good back in the old days. Yeah. Handsome dude.
Don't know what happened. Well, dude, too many donuts. Dude, I don't know.
Everybody gets older, man. Everybody gets older.
That's why I'm trying to cut weight right now.
So watching this first episode, what stood out about, or what did you feel like you had, like, oh, I had this wrong the whole time. Like, what did you?
I had it wrong up until Kodos? Mm-hmm. Up until there's a part where, like, Shatner is like, hey, like, are you him? And he's like, I don't know. Do you believe I'm him? And like, yes, I do. And he's like, well, then I don't know what else to tell you. There were things that needed to be done. And he just randomly yells. Just one moment he yells. Like, I was totally pulled in. Like, oh, this is an amazing. Oh, damn.
There's young George Takei.
Good for him. Look at
that six-pack, man.
Looks like a Bruce Lee. But yeah, he was... He just randomly yells, and then he goes back into it. I was like, oh, my God, worst monologue ever.
Like, but I feel like that's more because it's, like, weighing on him, and that's, like, the way he's playing it. Like,
that's but it looks like he's constipated, and he finally releases it when he yells. Like, it was bad.
It was soul constipation of the soul.
But really what pulled me in, it had to have been Shatner's performance. My God, an actor, man.
You know what's – here's the thing. That Shatner gets a bad rap. And I've told this on the story before, on the show before. He was, when they got him for this show, it was a big deal because he was a well-respected actor. And the reason he's kind of big and broad is because he's a stage actor.
Yeah.
And Star Trek is kind of this low-budget show. And you said it yourself. They're doing tight close-ups on eyes, and they're really trying to make it really cinematic. Well, you don't need to be, because the camera's going to pick all that stuff up. You don't need to be super theatrical, but those are Shatner's roots, so that's the way he's playing it.
There was only once or twice where he did the, please, Mr. Spock, search.
There's some, yeah, he gets kind of bitchy with Spock, too, this one. He's like,
oh, yeah.
He's like, I won't have you question my command.
Like, no, yeah, dude, well, that was the one thing that, like, I loved about it, was, like, he totally was like, are you undermining me? Like, I'll kick your ass to the curb quick, homie. You know that flying body from the remake they did? That's going to be you if you don't shut up.
Spock was kind of like, he didn't know how to react, but then at the same time.
But it was cool because he totally corrected, like, hey, calm down. Spock is doing his job by protecting the ship, but you're doing your job by being the
line that, what does McCoy say? He says, you know, he tells Spock, sometimes the chain of command is like a noose. It's always like, there's always like these nice little lines in there, you know? And so now we're going to move on. So I really, this episode is
you said that you didn't feel it was as strong as 15. I felt very much the other way around.
See, because I thought you were going to be more into, like, the space battles and stuff. Like, I thought that was going to be more up
here. I love the drama.
Well, that's good. You know what? Then I would really recommend you going back and watching it, because there's some really good ones.
You don't have to recommend it. I am going to, because after these two episodes, and it was funny while I'm watching it, my girlfriend comes in, and the greatest thing I ever heard in my life, I'm watching Star Trek, and she goes, and I'm watching it on my phone, totally not facing her, and she goes, oh, you watching Star Trek? And I look up, and she goes, don't ask me how I know. And I'm like, no, like, I really want to know. How the hell do you know? And I never got it out of her. I want to know how she knows.
Everybody's seen it, man.
Apparently.
I can't believe you watched it on your phone.
Yeah, it was good. I watched it while driving home. I have this arm thing.
Oh, that's cool. Well, keep your eyes on the road, though.
Yeah, I'm totally like, well, I also have it like playing around me.
Oh, so yeah, so you can hear you.
I know when like, oh, it's getting intense. I'm like, you know, look at the road, look at the phone, look at the road.
This is the worst.
But it's not like I'm diverted.
This is the worst.
Like, my little setup is like right
Flip
there.
Flip your captain's chair around and just watch it on the TV behind you.
Oh, that's not a TV. That's a computer monitor.
Oh, my God, that's huge.
Yeah, that's
you can pull Netflix off of that.
That's
thing.
Like a 60 inch. Did you say 60?
Yeah, that's about 55, 60 maybe. You flip it around, put the Netflix on there, Netflix.com.
Yeah, and then I'll do it from like
Star
my
Trek
iPad.
Yeah, there you go. Just Chrome it over there.
I don't have Chrome.
Shoot it over there. Whatever you do, Apple TV, whatever magic. Beam it over there.
I would never buy it. But no, this, honestly, it was, oh my God. I was, other than that specific part where the Destroyer like totally blew it for me with the frustration. But other than that, I was just, it was a buffet, dude. I was just eating it all up. I was like, yes, yes. Oh my God, who's the killer? I'm like, no, is it the daughter? No, it can't be the daughter. The daughter was with Shatner when they were at the party. Yeah. I finally thought, well, maybe she did it before. I don't know. Wait, was it him? Maybe it's like somebody. I was like, oh my God. I was guessing the whole time till the very end. And even the very end when you did find out, and everything got intense and the play was happening on the ship, I was totally like, oh gosh. And I was like, wait, like, where's Captain Kirk? Is he there listening? Oh God, he is. And he's totally like, look, dude, like, you can stop this, right? And I love that he's so, I think it's like a Vader-esque thing. He doesn't raise his voice. He rarely ever does it. He keeps that same tone the whole time. And it's just like, cool, calm, and collective, and it's an amazing character.
Yeah, I'm glad you really like that one. So I'm glad we picked a good one for you to start on.
Yes, very much.
So you know, now you kind of know, because the show kind of, because of the budget constraints of the show, they would kind of alternate where you'd have a show that was effects heavy, like Balance of Terror, and then make it kind of alternate and do one where we're on the ship.
Yeah, well, even more so, I feel like when they did Star Trek, now between these two episodes, not that I know the whole history of everything, but between these two episodes, it definitely was like, look, not only do we cater to like the house mom and the one that wants the drama and like the whodunit, we also cater to the people that are really into sci-fi and want to know about space and this
action show. Yeah,
yeah, so it seems like the perfect blend of everything. What happened with the movies? I don't know because I don't remember them. But at least this show specifically, wow!
If you watch Star Trek, it's funny because if you watch Star Trek the motion picture, there are, it's like 2.5 hour movie, and it's basically a rehash of one of the episodes, and it wasn't one of the best episodes. I'm not going to give anything else away. But because it hadn't been on and had never been seen on the big screen, there's like 2.5 hours, like 45 minutes of that is like money shots of like the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Like they're doing this thing where like the Enterprise is in dry dock outside of space, and like Scotty takes Kirk up in a shuttle. And they're just, I swear to God, it's 10 minutes of just going around the whole ship, which at the time was probably like, people, fans were like, oh my God, I get to see
it. We finally get to see the whole ship.
We finally get to see it. So I would recommend jumping in at like Star Trek 2 if you're going to watch the movie.
Which is the Wrath of Khan.
Which
is
Wrath of Khan, which is awesome. Watch the original.
Which is Into Darkness.
Which is watch.
Even though they said Into Darkness wasn't Wrath of Khan.
Watch Space Seed, because that's a sequel. Khan is a sequel to, so I think that's the only time that's ever happened where a movie is a sequel to an episode of a TV show.
Okay.
But that's a good one to watch too.
Okay.
And Ricardo Montalban is so awesome on that one. So now we're going to move on to Balance of Terror.
Yes, which was, there is this line the neutral zone. Yeah, the neutral zone where nobody's supposed to cross, and they have.
It'll come up in
war.
All the movies. The neutral zone, like it comes up in everything.
So there's like this so far a 10-year agreement. Like, look, we're not going to slaughter your people. You're not going to slaughter ours. You stay on your side. We'll stay on our side. And apparently, it's been violated.
That's right. By who, though? But by who?
That was the weird thing. I was like, is he a Vulcan?
So there's another race called Romulans. Everybody knows the Klingons.
Yeah.
Because the Klingons, the Romulans, and I think Spock addresses it, they share an ancestor somewhere.
Yeah,
along.
Which is what, like, the dick move. The guy's like, why doesn't he just translate it? And, like, Kirk's like, you freaking racist or what?
Yeah, it's basically like saying, like, my, you know... It'd be like in a World War II movie.
It's like people assuming I speak Spanish. Yes, I'm Mexican. No, I don't speak Spanish, you dick. I live in America.
Well, it'd be like if we were in a World War II movie and you have a Chinese guy on your like in your squad and they're fighting in the Pacific and someone's like, why don't you just translate to Japanese?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, jerk.
Yeah. And I thought it was awesome that like just Kirk was so
Kirk was
on
like,
it.
You can leave the bigotry like off the bridge.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He was on it. He's like, no, I'm going to have yeah. And that's a really good one, too, because you got to see a lot of Leonard Nimoy because he's kind of like – he can't respond to the racism.
Yeah.
And he's kind of above – you made a face while you laughed.
Because, like, I actually had more problems with this episode than the one prior because it's like, fix the phasers. And he's like, I can't fix them. And then, like, right when everything's gone, all right, it's good. I was like, what the hell?
That happens a lot of times.
And it's just like, just that one little panel. It's not like, no, there are complete problems around the ship that we need 20 people to fix to fire this one laser gun at my dad. It's like, nah, dude, I just got to solder these two wires. You're good. You're good, bro. I was like, what the hell? Really? That's what's wrong?
Fire control. Yeah, you never quite know how the Enterprise makes it because a lot of times it's like.
It's all in the control room. Somehow.
It's like, or sometimes they get locked out of the control room, like, or somebody locks them in. It's like, you guys really didn't think about this. Like, you really need to, like, you know.
Where's your escape port? We didn't think about that.
Or, you know, Scotty will say something like, I need 7 days. And it's like, you've got 5 minutes. And he fixes it. It's like, okay. Yeah. Well, you know, I guess you could just Mexican something together. You know what I mean? Like,
Mickey Mouse the crap out of it.
Yeah, just, it works for one shot. Like, don't miss.
Which I might add, they missed several times in this.
Well, this was actually kind of a an homage to the World War II submarine movies.
And you know what? That's what I felt like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I really felt like they addressed like this was a submarine. So So when it starts off, there's supposed to be a wedding, and they're like, "Hey, like something's happening." And
that wedding's so goofy too.
I felt so bad. Though.
I know at the end. At the end.
We'll talk about that.
And you know, Kat can just being like, "Look, if you need a shoulder to cry on, I'm here."
Like, I know. I was like, "Dang, he gonna hit it, dude? Like, what's up?" And I might add the bride.
Yeah, see all those '60s girls.
Just
all those. That's from back when it was okay for a girl to have. To have curves in which, you
and
know,
big hair, apparently.
And big hair. And short skirts.
Like, totally, like, Peggy from Married with Children. Totally. If we would have threw her back in the 60s, totally would have been acceptable. And she would have been a redhead. They'd be like, that's exotic. I like that.
Yeah, she would have been one of Shatner's girls.
Oh, gosh. And he has so many. And he's so, like, he could charm the pants off you. Even with that girl from 14, and then she's like, so you're going to have your way with me? He's like,
When she's on, we didn't address this. We got to go back to Conscience of the King. What if she's like, the ship is throbbing with power.
Yeah.
<She's> just,
yeah.
Like, whoa. Can you lay that on a little thicker there?
Yeah.
She's just all like, she's like rubbing the side of the ship.
Yeah. I was like, dude, this
it's on Captain Kirk.
Yeah, which I'm sure he's probably hit it and quit it a lot of people. But with 15, so they start off with a wedding and then something bad happens. And that's when they find out that somebody's crossed the neutral zone and there's posts that are being destroyed. But the thing is that they're being cloaked. So their first plan is like, let's destroy these people. They're like, yeah, but since they're being cloaked, like they already crossed the line, so let's kill them. And they're like, no, they don't know. They don't know that they crossed. So if we kill them, it might be us initiating the war.
Because they're cloaked.
Yeah.
So they have to come up with a way.
Yes. Yeah. And it's so like, it's such an awesome episode of like cat and mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so with everything. And it's, I was a little confused because I don't know the history of Star Trek. So I'm like, what's that ship? Why does that guy look like Spock? Why are they not talking about it?
Yeah, it wasn't
like you definitely needed to know continuity.
And that, well, that was the first time the Romulans were ever on the show.
Okay.
So you weren't at any disadvantage.
Okay.
So that was like, we know it now because it's like 50 years since Star Trek. So there's been like this, because Romulans have been on some of the like Next Generation and all that.
But Voyager.
This was the first time that they've seen a Romulan. So okay. you're not in any.
Yeah,
this is their first intro.
That still was a dick move. Just have him translate.
Yeah, but he was just kept writing Spock. It's like, dude, what? Why are you? Yeah,
it's so sad, and it's just like, shut up.
And Spock, being like he was Vulcan, doesn't have the emotions. Just kind of takes it. Like,
yeah.
He doesn't really, or tries to answer logically, which. If anyone's ever been bullied, that is the worst.
Yeah.
That just makes, you know.
But since he's like second at hand, like it's kind of like you have to take it too. You're like, damn it, I can't even punk him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's like, you know, you try to reason with somebody like, you know, oh, you know, like the worst thing to do with a bully is try to make sense of them because they're just going to make fun of you even more.
Either that or just beat the crap out of you.
Yeah. So that's basically what Spock's waiting for. But you have, I'll tell you a little bit of trivia. The guy who plays the Romulan commander, a gentleman by the name of Mark Leonard, went on to play in the movies later on Spock's father.
Really?
So he went on to play.
You know, it seems like it would make sense.
Yeah, because he looks a lot. They look very similar.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's I was confused. I'm like, is it his brother?
They got somebody that kind of looked like Spock because they wanted to really make that bring that connection.
So explain to me, did they hijacked one of the. One of the people's ship?
No, that's their ship.
Or they're totally like...
That's their ship, but they were going around cloak trying to make like... They were trying to get the Federation to retaliate so they could start war.
Yeah.
And that's why the whole thing...
So they're totally the race that they're supposed to be. Because I was a little confused on that because said like, send out somebody's body.
Yeah, because he had... It was this old submarine trick because the guy had died on the ship
when they got hit.
So, like, we'll throw this body out there to make it look like the...
Like they hit us.
Or like they destroyed us.
Yeah.
And
which, I might add, not going to work. Because it's like five particles and a body.
That's what they used to try to do with submarines, though. They would shoot stuff out of the tube and, like, leak. They would, like, send oil or fuel so people above would think.
Oh,
and they
would
just lay still. Yeah. But Spock sees right through it because he's like, it's only debris. There's no, like...
Yeah.
There's no...
He totally addressed, like, every... That was the funny thing, too. Like... With that technology, you would know, like, yeah, well, this is a little bit of debris, and this, like, this is totally not the ship.
There's no ship. Spock was too smart for it, you know.
Yeah, but he couldn't fix the freaking lasers on time.
That's not his job.
It apparently was. He even fixes them again. He's underneath, like, messing with stuff. Comes back up, hits the dashboard by. And I might add, for someone so smart, it's like, dude, wiggle your little ass out of there, stand straight up. What's the problem?
We need drama. We need to cast Spock for the suspicion.
Even Kirk. It's okay. It's okay. That was the one time Kirk raised his voice. Like, we're going to die. No, we're good. Wait, we're good.
But I like Kirk's plan was like, it's okay. And his plan was back the hell up and just start firing like, blindly in front of you.
Yeah, that was his thing was like, I'm just going to shoot randomly. And I might add, it worked.
It worked.
But once again, it's the whole submarine thing. It's like, look, we don't know where these guys are, but we're going to fire out some missiles and hopefully it damages them.
Yeah, yeah. It's very 1980s arcade game. Just like keep firing a barrage like Galaga.
Yeah.
I
could do it, I swear to God. Dude, oh, the little freaking butterfly thing's coming for me now. And it sucked because your hand would get like tired and you're like.
Hey. I would always miss the one in the bonus where they would do that crisscross. I would always miss the one and be like, oh, but I could get those two ship lines up. Oh, I used to love that. So,
Speaking of retro games.
So you liked Conscience of the King better than Balance of Terror, would you say? Or did you like them both equally or? You like them for different reasons.
I liked it. I have to say that I like them for different reasons.
Okay.
The swag and the way like Kirk was very cool, calm, and collective in what did you say it was Kings? What was it?
The Conscience of the King.
Conscience of the Kings. The way that he acted, it was just like you wanted to know what was in his head, but he totally kept it to himself and let it out when it was necessary.
Yeah.
With this other one, it was more action packed. And definitely not so much story-driven, but very much so action-driven.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I didn't have too much of a problem with, but the only thing was was that the story lacked a little bit. Yeah. Other than that, the acting in it was great. Mm-hmm. Everything about it was great. And, of course, at the very end, we have the tragedy of...
yeah, the crewman who was going to get married at the beginning...
ends up passing away.
...is dead.
Yeah.
Now, just to put it in some context, like we're watching this post-Star Wars. You know, we're used to these space battles and stuff like that. All the
Wait, post-Star Wars?
Yeah, well, you and I are post-Star. Yeah. So, at this time, people weren't doing adult... You know, it was like Lost in Space and all these like kind of kiddie sci-fi shows. So this is really,
Danger, Will Robinson. This is Danger.
Really this is really the first time on a TV show where you're seeing like, let's really see what a battle in space would be. Like, what would it really be like?
Yeah.
Like what would the strategy be? And looking at it from like, you know, I love that he's like where he's like, because a lot of times you forget about this in space, but Kirk says something like, watch out, he'll try to come up from underneath us, you know?
Yeah.
You don't think about that. They don't think about like, there's three dimensions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They could come from behind you, side of you, anything.
Underneath, above.
And I don't know how that camera worked, because if it's just in front of him, what a flawed freaking thing on this ship. Because the viewer, where is he? Shit, he's behind us.
No, they can change. They can change. They'll switch. Yeah. It's just basically, it's not a window. It's just they're just looking at a monitor.
Okay.
So it's, you know, they can.
I think that's one of the things that a lot of people didn't understand that. I always realized, I was like, I don't understand. They could see in space, but then, like, people, for some odd reason, every enemy would be like, hey, we're here. It's like, why do you announce yourself? Just try and kill them. Like, why do you got to hack their intercom? It makes no sense.
They always.
Right? Like, think about it. No matter what, throughout Star Trek, throughout Next Generation, Voyager, they all wanted to be like, look, we want to talk to these people before we kill them. It's like the supervillain with the monologue.
Just blow them up.
You don't need it. Just kill them.
Just blow them up. The Romulans tried. They didn't announce
it. Yeah, fair enough on their end. They were like, dude, we're totally going to.
Yeah, we're just going to work these guys. Yeah. We're going
to
work
them. And they were so smart about it. It was so great to see the logic between both the captains. Mm-hmm. Like, they totally knew each other's games, even with like.
What does he call it? Was that when he hits him? He's like a sorcerer. Like Mark Leonard's like he calls him like a sorcerer. He knows my thoughts.
Yeah, so it was so cool and awesome, but the story definitely did lack in this one.
It was more an action driven show. You don't really need a story. It's like, hey, there's a ship out there and it's cloaked.
Yeah, hey, there's these guys that cross the line. There might be a war. Let's see how they avoid that.
And
at the end, too, the guy's like, hey, man, like, he's like, I'm willing to save your life. You have to become a prisoner, but come on my ship. And he's like, nah, fool, self-destruct. Like, straight up, like, nah, like, save yourself. No, all right.
But that was like the warrior way, is the honorable way to go.
Yeah, the captain has to go down with this ship.
Yeah, that was it's a good episode. Well, I'm really glad you liked, I'm glad it wasn't a chore for you.
No, originally it was.
Yeah.
But totally took it on.
And that's when I was asking earlier, what misconceptions did you have about the show that you think now that you've
just
watched
it? Just the quirkiness of it. Yeah. And truth be told, like, there really isn't anything quirky about it.
It's a solid.
It's really solid.
There's a reason we're still talking about it 50 years later, dude.
I mean, there's certain movies and stuff like that, like, I seriously cannot watch or cannot handle. It seems like recently I've been really taking to like the older stuff. Like I still, like I said, Twilight Zone, bread and butter. Even the Twilight Zone comic, bread and butter.
Because that 50s, 60s TV, there was a lot of, I think, craft that went into it. And then in the 70s and 80s, I think the quality really took a dive.
Yeah.
Because you started to get more like mass produced, like, you know, one producer's producing like 10 shows and they're all the same show.
Yeah.
And then
they just took the prop from the other show and placed it over here.
And I think like recently in like the past 10 years or so, you kind of have a prestige has kind of been brought back to TV. Yeah. And like stuff like, you know, Mad Men, Walking Dead, all these shows, these cable shows have kind of brought it back.
Which I might add, have you been keeping up with Walking Dead?
Yeah.
I got bored.
Well, let me tell you though, but I mean, you're in the comics still, right?
Yes. Do we finally have that happen? Because I didn't watch the most recent episode.
Which one?
Yeah, right there to the left. Yeah, the one all the way. Have we had that happen yet?
Not yet, because here's. But let me tell you why. Spoiler alert for those of you guys. So if you don't want to hear a Walking Dead spoiler alert.
By the time this release this week?
Well, no, but dude, but let me ask you a question. Spoiler alert. How long are they in Alexandria in the comics? They're in there forever, aren't they?
They're still there.
Yeah, that's what I told somebody.
They're still there.
They're still there.
By either issue 80 or 90, they're at Alexandria, and then they address the other colonies that have been there.
So then they're at 80 or 90, and...
The guy at Alexandria...
This is issue 137.
Yeah, dude. So basically...
50
the,
issues.
Basically, from here on in, we're going to be in Alexandria.
Yeah. And so people don't know, like, I don't want, again, spoiler alert, a lot of stuff happens in Alexandria that kind of mirrors what's happened before.
Yes.
So get ready, Walking Dead viewers. You're going to be in Alexandria for a while. Yeah. This is your TV show for a while.
Yeah, this is
unless they really compact everything.
I mean, there's going to have stuff that's going to take place elsewhere, but basically headquarters will always be Alexandria, yeah. At least for the time being.
At least for the time being.
Can we ruin it?
Dude,
it's comic book based, so it might not go this way. We've already had a lot of changes.
Yeah, well, I already gave a spoiler alert. So right. Trek talk is over.
Time to get into some Walking Dead.
So if you
want to
get into we'll tack on a real quick Walking Dead thing right here.
Wait, and do you want me to play the old Walking Dead music we used to
have? I used to love this. Go.
Let's see. Hold on. All right, Boss Jock is opening up Walking Dead.
Spock, give me those damn phasers.
Did I take it off? No, I took it off.
You jerk.
No. Here it is. Yeah.
That brings back some memories.
Yeah. So, no. I'll put it as like an under.
Right,
so yeah, basically with The Walking Dead right now, if we're going to take place in Alexandria, first off, they've addressed that we had a character called Jesus in the comics, and there's only one person that looks like Jesus, and
wasn't Jesus.
That's Daryl. So they're kind of thinking since Jesus was a homosexual, that maybe since Daryl hasn't really addressed his love interest in anybody, Norman Reedus. He hasn't addressed if he is a homosexual or not, but he did say that if they did give him the script and that was in there, that he would 110% not have a problem with it. So I think that's kind of cool. I think that would be awesome if we had that. If this is all going to play out, Carl will be eyeless. He'll have one eye.
Yeah.
Glenn will be killed by Negan with a barbed wire baseball bat named Lucille, which I might add, you could buy like a 2 foot or a 3 foot baseball bat of Lucille through Sky.
Negan hasn't been introduced in the.
No, not yet. See, well, that's the thing. They're totally gonna break down all the establishments.
And then Maggie's gonna go up to Hilltop, right? Because there's the Hilltop. Conference.
Yeah, but that's because Maggie was pregnant, and she also had Sophia. So Sophia's not even around it. In the show, there's a lot of things that are going to change. We also have Maggie's going to take over the Hilltop if she does head over there.
Because there's a group called the Saviors that come in.
Yes,
and they are definitely not saviors.
Well, they just have a different way of saving people. It's very forceful. It's very very Hitler-esque.
It's kind of like the people we've seen already.
Well, Nazism.
And it's kind of like the people we've seen, a little bit like the people we've seen, we've already met at the hospital.
Yes, exactly. Which I might add, the hospital not in the comics.
Yeah, I thought that's where they were going with that. I thought that's what the hospital was going to be. I was like, they're going to take these guys from the hospital, and they're going to be the saviors. Unless they bring them back as the saviors. Who knows, maybe. Maybe
I could see that, too, because the they were totally about, we need to survive. So I could see that. We're also going to have, at this moment, it's really interesting in the comics. Because originally we had the zombies thinking that they were talking. And they weren't. It was people wearing the zombies' flesh over them to mask themselves to be with the zombies. I think they were called the Whisperers. Because they have to whisper to make sure that the zombies don't identify that they're human. So it's really interesting time and a really interesting take on what Kirkman is addressing in The Walking Dead.
But they're definitely still there.
Yes.
Because I'm not that far yet as far as – I know what happens, but I'm not as far ahead as you are.
Yeah.
I'm like maybe like 10 issues behind you or something. So
that issue is really disturbing right there when you get to it. Because Carl has a love interest for one of the Whisperers, and they decide to get intimate, and she licks his – open eye.
Yeah.
Like totally like I think it's beautiful and licks it and I'm just like, oh no. Yeah, basically is just is bad. But if you guys are really truly into The Walking Dead TV show, you need to pick up the comic. The comic is, oh my god!
I hope they're not because they just spoiled. We just spoiled everything.
I know, right? Those bastards. But that's what happens in the comic. Will it happen this time around?
Yeah, they changed.
I don't know.
Stuff.
I'm really interested to see when Negan does come, who's going to be the one to get their head bashed in.
By the way, also, if you're a fan of The Walking Dead, there is a version of Bang, a board game called Bang. It's a card game. And you play, and you basically play around a table, and everybody picks a character. In the original Bang, you're either a sheriff, an outlaw, or a renegade. And everybody has a different, if you're the sheriff, the outlaws are trying to kill you. If you're the renegade, you're trying to kill everybody. If you're the sheriff, you're trying to kill everybody. But only the sheriff knows who he is, and everybody. So you've got to kind of figure out while you're playing
who
have a Walking Dead version.
Really?
And you're all trying to kill each other, but some of you are saviors. Some of you
are. Oh, that's awesome.
One of you is Rick. One of you is the leader. Like, one of you is the leader. And you get to pick different characters. So you could be Carl. You could be the governor. You could be Negan. You could be all, and you have different strengths and weaknesses and stuff. But the thing is, we played with a bunch of people last week, and they had never. They were watching the show, but they didn't. Had never.
They didn't know some of the stuff.
I didn't know it was going to be based. I'm not the one that brought the game. My brother-in-law brought it, but I didn't mention anything. But they're like, "Who's Negan?" I'm like, "Oh, he's a guy. I was like, he's a dude." Like, I didn't want to say anything because it was. But it's based. But if you're a fan of the
TV based or is it comic based?
It's comic based.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, because it has Negan in it. And stuff.
Yeah. Well, same thing with my.
And all the art is from the comic.
I have the Walking Dead Monopoly, but it's the comic book one.
Oh, okay.
And Lucille is one of the figures. It's so sick. And Carl's hat. No, Rick's hat. Whatever. Both of their.
Carl. Dude, give me a little.
Carl. Lori. Something you might really enjoy. Plug into Eat Geek Play. I'm actually doing a podcast with them called A Talk on Titans, where we're breaking down all of the Teen Titans from the Marv Wolfman run and going to try and push it all the way to the run now.
That's a great title, except it should be about Attack on Titans.
No, it's not. It's A Talk on Titans.
That's pretty funny.
I came up with that one. You're welcome. The Eat Geek Play, if you go to eatgeekplay.com, I know this is right up your alley. You like to play Apples to Apples.
Word.
There's also the other game, which is the dirtier version, which is
Cards Against Humanity. Uh-huh.
They came out with an expansion pack called Geeks Against Humanity, where one of the cards is you pull it and it goes, the chameleon function in the TARDIS is now messed up. So they are now stuck in the form of, and you could use your Cards Against Humanity or Apples to Apples cards and answer the question for it.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so if it's something that I know you're really into the games, I know that'll be awesome because they have Wolverine, they have Batman, they have everything comic book and geek.
Basically. That's pretty awesome. That's called Geeks Against Humanity.
Geeks Against Humanity, and which I guess legally, as long as you don't say it's Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, you
could add on your own expansion pack.
Yeah, they don't care. I'm going to check it out. All right, well, Matt the Rat, this has been lovely.
Hasn't it? Deep inside the rat cave.
Has it made me miss podcasting with you? No. But.
We have a lot of new.
No, I'm kidding, man. Seriously, honestly, congratulations on the success of your live show, and I'm glad to see you branching out because I know you want to do this more than anything else in the world, and so I'm glad. Oh, there you go. It's like a morning radio show. But I know you this. You know you. And I said it before. Nobody. You have. If you go out, you have no fear when it comes to doing things. If you see Scott Snyder at Comic-Con, you'll just be like, "Hey, man, I have a podcast. Is it cool if I talk to you?" Yeah. So I'm really happy. Did you really stand on the shoulders of me and really reach that fruit? No, I'm kidding.
Thanks, man.
No, I'm kidding.
If anything, I had to run back to my house, get a rope, throw it around the tree, and try to shimmy my way up.
I always look fondly back on that time because I learned a lot about the comics from you guys. So I always appreciate the help that you guys, Renee, Billy, that you guys all gave me, and you know, you kind of guided me when I was getting back into comic books.
Joseph as well.
Yeah, so I will.
I ran into Joseph.
He's Master Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yes, we ran into each other at the mall, which is, he's your nephew, correct?
That is correct.
Yes, and we answered one of his questions on comments on comics now.
He is one of the top 10 players in the world on a game called Secret Ponchos.
Really?
For the PlayStation 4.
Are there only 10 people playing?
No, there are thousands of people playing. His Twitter feed is blowing up because all these people, yes, he's like, are there only 10 people playing?
I learned that sass from you, and to be quick drawn.
I don't miss it. I don't miss it at all. but anyway, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, congratulations on everything. Everything seems to be going super well for you. So you can find Matt the Rat at, if you want to find any of his podcasts, you can go to RHP 2013 at Podbean.
Podbean.com. Yes.
And on Twitter?
You could find either Rat House Productions at RATTHAUS or go to our comic book podcast page, which is at Comics After Dark. You could also find us on Instagram at Comics After Dark as well. Or, no, that's about it. If you need any other help, you could go ahead and just go to rhp2013.podbean.com to get all your information. Or subscribe to us directly in your podcast app under Rat House Productions.
You have that practice, don't you?
I have to say it every week.
I never say mine. So for Matt the Rat, for everybody here at the Rat Cave, it's terrifying in here.
It's dark.
And we will say, as we end none of our shows ever, but we will say this one time, live long
and prosperous.